Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
Oh my gosh. The next guest today. I know I say this every week, but y'all, she's going to blow you away. She is an executive advisor, board member, and speaker focused on leadership. She specializes in building community and empowering people to be the best versions of themselves. Most recently, she has become an executive coach with the Michael Hyatt and Company team, which is how I know her from being on that team with her. They exists to help high-achieving leaders and their teams get to their vision, alignment, and execution needed to win at work and succeed at life for the double win. So she works in her family's business and is the current president over Dutch Medical Clinics. She directs and manages 10 pharmacies, 4 clinics, and a med spa. She has helped create Allegro Family Clinic and was instrumental in creating a clinic from the ground up and growing the entity from to the system it is today. In 2021, she was recognized as one of Mississippi's top CEOs. She also currently holds the position of honorary commander to the Columbus Air Force Base Wing Commander, Colonel Seth Graham. Amy graduated from the University of Alabama in 2006, has a master's degree in nursing. She is married to her husband, and they have 3 amazing children that are currently 11, 9, and 6. I cannot wait to introduce you to the other Amy, Amy Bogue. Get ready to believe that you can have it all. Time for yourself, the kids, your marriage, and your business. My name is Amy Wine. I am a Jesus-loving, married mom, CEO, professional counselor, marriage therapist, high-performance business coach, and a believer in keeping it real. Real life, real relationships, real people. I teach you how to live a life that represents who you are authentically, not who you think you need to be. Each episode, I meet you right where you are with time-tested tools and strategies so that you can find who you are in all the hats you wear and live your life authentically on purpose. This is real life, raw, sometimes ugly, other times wonderful and fun. I can't promise you this work is easy, but I can tell you it is totally worth it. Are you ready? Let's get started. Amy Bogue, I'm so excited to have you. Welcome to the couch. How are you doing today?
We are good. I'm a little Zoom fatigued today, but otherwise doing well.
I know. 2 years ago, Zoom fatigue was probably not even on anybody's radar, but it's a thing.
It is a thing. Yes.
There's so much a thing. I saw something, and I'm getting off topic of what I want to talk to you about right off the bat, but that's okay. I saw something the other day and it was like, here's my normal day. It was get up, eat breakfast, do yoga, do my business meetings, have a COVID test, do my next Zoom meeting, go home to my kids, eat dinner out, which is why they had to have the COVID test because wherever they're they were in Panama, I think, and they had to have that test. I was like, oh my gosh, I just read it like it was normal and it didn't even hit me until the end. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. When you're in healthcare, you probably have a lot of feelings about that.
Every day you think, and that's even actually the news interviewed a week or two ago. And they said, well, what, as the surge comes back up, what new precautions are you taking? I said, we haven't stopped. I mean, we've been going for almost 2 years strong and, you know, we're still doing the same thing we were March 2020, but like you ask me before that, I'll tell you what new measures we have. But you're right, it's the new normal. What is the new normal?
The new normal. Got to get used to it. So one of the reasons I'm going to shift back into what I really want to talk to you about is I wanted to have you on here because you are a master at building community. And I know just hands-on how good you are. And I know I always tease you about this because I want to run from some of your groups, to be honest. You have questions that take a group of 4, 5, 6, 20 people right around you. And you can ask one question and all of a sudden you've got like this big conversation. And oh, I just got chills now because... That's my God wink of how powerful it is. Like, so powerful that it made me want to run for the hills.
Oh, well, and full disclosure to our friends listening, yes, we even pulled Amy out of the bed in her jammies to put, she had to put clothes on to join the Zoom that we just last minute needed to catch.
Yes. Yeah, you should sell them because I'm really kind of sound like it's scary. It really, yeah. It was just like, my audience knows that I like to hide from things sometimes that are hard, even though I'm really good with their problems. I'm not as good as mine, and I totally own it. And you have this way of asking a question that make me think and go, oh, I thought I dealt with that, and now it just bubbled back up. But, but you come out of it on the other side going, dang, that was powerful. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that building community. I know you've done it on your back porch and in your own community. So talk to us about that. I'm gonna let you talk instead of me now.
Oh, no, no. You know, I feel like God gives everybody a skill set. Mm. And for those of us who are believers, when you recognize that it's a gift from Him, then you can lean more into that gift. And I think you become braver. I wasn't always like this way. It took me a long time to realize that one of my gifts is connecting people. And at first it started out like, oh, your favorite color is purple. Guess what? So is hers. Let me introduce you guys. And I'll give you a little example. The first time I did this was in nursing school, kind of pulling two different girls together who are now still very best friends. And if I pull that full circle, even in my work world, I opened up a clinic in Alabama that was not successful. And because of that past relationship, another nurse practitioner ended up buying that practice from me. Like you can't make up kind of how the Lord may introduce you so many years ago for that season. And there's a mastermind reason down the road.
Absolutely.
So it's all that to say, you know, for me, it took getting used to being brave by asking the first question, mm-hmm, to leaning in and being comfortable and letting, when I'm more vulnerable than you are too, and then we can start to go a lot deeper. And it can be as simple. I mean, I think about examples as I'm talking about them. There's two girls in college that I thought were just really beautiful to me, not just externally, but the way that they exuded themselves. And I thought, I want to be their friend. So during rush at University of Alabama on a porch, I remember the house we were about to go into, this girl, I came up and said, hey, my name's Amy. You know, I don't remember what I asked, but we connected as a freshman and ended up living together my senior year.
Wow.
So it's kind of funny when you look back even that far ago to think like, okay, that is a gift. And I think that those experiences helped me become more brave to do some of the things that I've been able to do today, just by simply asking a question.
Yeah. And I remember one time when we were in person in Tennessee and we were sitting around with other people that were in the same area of coaching as us. And you asked a question, we started talking, and there was men and women. And I just remember thinking after that, I came out of that knowing those people, whether that was a male or a female. Like I came out of that, even though we each had what, 2 or 3 minutes or maybe 5 if it took us longer, or maybe 10. So, but even in those 2 to 3 minutes by the questions you asked, it was like, what was the question? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Because that's the one I wanted to hear from.
I know. I call it 3 minutes of authenticity.
Yes. I was going to share it because everybody's going to be emailing me going, what is it? What is it?
Yeah.
3 minutes of authenticity, and how I have never sat in a group like that. And that's why it scared me so much. It was like, oh, like this is where I put on my mask because I'm in professional mode here. And I know in my time, I went through a really, really rough time personally with something that was just like, I was not in a good place. And I thought, if they get around to me, like this is coming out because I can't even hold it anymore. But I came out of that feeling like I had made best friends, like for life. And that is not something, I got chills again. That is not something that had been the norm for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like you empower women specifically to be the best version of themselves.
So now you can make chills and tears. That's my goal.
Oh, is it? Because I feel that from you. Like, I didn't even know that was a goal that you had. I just feel it. Like, find your people. So speak to us why that's your goal. Let's just find out why.
Sure. Well, you know, I think especially in a day of social media, it is so much worse than even when you and I went to college or young mothers. People play the comparison game all the time and they forget that it's, of course, people's highlight. Like nobody's putting, you know, the hard days up on social. So when you become confident in who you are because of whose you are, then you can lean into your gifts, and my gifts are different than your gifts and everybody else's. But to me, when I can empower another woman to be the best version of themselves and I link arms with them, then we can change the world. You know, we can do whatever we set our mind to. There's so many things I'm not good at, but I know someone who is. And so I'm not afraid to say, hey, I need some help in this area. It's not my forte. I actually don't like doing this. You know, can I get your help? And I think that's a key as well, is not one person has it all together all the time. You know, you've previously talked in some of your podcasts about hiring someone to help in your home. I mean, that has allowed you to help more women or more whoever the listeners are, because you're not worried about the dishes or the laundry. You know, there's this whole cycle of life, if you will.
Yeah.
And finding your place in that cycle and being confident in that skill set. And I never want to come across as cocky, because it's not like that. I thank the Lord for my gifts all the time. I want to be complimentary back to him. And I think about it as a, you know, I have 3 children, and as a parent, when I teach my children to do something and they do it and they do it well, I love when they tell me thank you. You know, I love when they own that. Whatever, I'm coaching my 5-year-old or 6-year-old now, his basketball team, he scored 24 points. And every time he scored, he looked at me and I was like, yes, you know, I'm helping teaching you how to play basketball, which I'm not really good at, but I can coach 6-year-olds. Yeah. But you know, the confidence that he has because we've spent some time practicing and working is really fun when he walked off that court like, I just scored 24 points, you know.
Shoulders back, like, confident. Yes. Woo! Yes. I love it.
That's right. And I think that God gets joy when his children know that it comes from him. He sees joy in you excelling because he gave you the gift. Mm-hmm. And that's where I want the women to understand, like, you, God's gifted each one of us, and he made you specifically, and lean into those gifts, and you are not going to be great at everybody. Now, I'll tell you something that changed my life in college was my RUF pastor preached on Proverbs 31. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a scholar. I didn't go to Bible school, none of that. But he threw out the idea, what if the Proverbs 31 woman is not one woman? What if it is a village of women? Because if you read Proverbs 31, you think, my gosh, she never sleeps. You know, but what if it is a village of women helping to make the world go round? And that's where that empowering women comes to play, that you're really good at this and I'm really good at this. When you put our talents together, we can do whatever you want.
Oh my gosh, I love that. You know what? I was reading for the first time in my life, I'm reading the Bible from cover to cover. That's my goal this year. And I've always been in awe of people that's doing that. I'm like, oh my, I'm never going to be that person. And I actually front loaded it So yeah. I actually started in October.
Good for you.
Just in case I didn't get my rhythm. So now I'm like, I'm actually on the day I'm supposed to be on because I had some blips in there of non-perfection. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Like, I just know if I miss a day or two that I can make it up another day. Like, I'm determined. But I have a checklist. I was so happy when I checked off this list. So off topic again. But I was reading today, I'm in Exodus. I'm in the back of Exodus. And I'm excited. Like, I'm so excited about reading the Bible that I'm like, this is better than these romance books that I am reading. Yes. And better than my, like, there's some dirt in the Bible. But the one thing that stood out is I'm reading chapter after chapter and I'm kind of like going, oh, I could just skim this one where he's talking about, I mean, God is very specific to Moses. I want you to tell them to go get this robe and these six names here and these six names here from the sons of Israel go here. They go over to his heart and, you know, down to cut this piece of wood this long and this many inches and layered in gold and silver and build this altar and like, all of these details chapter after chapter after chapter. But I came upon towards the end of that today, the two places where he says, I want you to go, and I don't remember the person's name right now, but I want you to go here because I gave him the wisdom. This is in the CSB version, the wisdom to know this trade and this trade and this trade and this trade and this trade. And I want you to have him do all of these things and build all these things exactly like I said for me. And then a little bit later in the next chapter, it says it again. I want you to go to this person because oh my God, I got chills. That's my God moment. I don't get them very often. That's fourth time in a row. I haven't had them in months. Hey, so Amy Bug, you're powerful. So he says it again. I gave him the wisdom. So I was thinking about that because I'm doing this course for women, as you know, called Awaken Me. And it's a journey to finding you again. And I thought, it's already in our hearts and mind. He's already given us the wisdom for his purpose. Mm-hmm. And maybe we got off track and maybe we've forgotten who we are or we've changed and we've learned and we've grown because I know I have, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many times over I've changed jobs till I'm finally in the right one and it's already there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I get a little fired up today.
Yes, but I love it.
I got fired up about that. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here trying to skip what he's saying because I am tired of reading about these many hooks and loops and wood sizes. I would have missed that fact.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And sometimes, you know, you get that inkling and I think God wants to see if you'll obey. You have to be brave enough to go find that woodmaker, you know, and ask and say, I know this sounds crazy, but, and I'll give you a story just.
Oh, I'd love it.
Because I think I was thinking about this one earlier today. So for those that are believers and when you do something or you're in a room and your heart starts beating out of your chest, like don't ignore that physical feeling. Mm-hmm. And one of our mayors was reelecting or up for reelection. And every time I passed his campaign sign, my heart started beating like really fast. And I had just moved back to town. I don't even know who he is. I didn't even know his name except for the sign. Well, his son had passed away and a good friend of mine wrote a book that is, and I will plug this because it is hands down the best book for death. It's called Voyage to the Star Kingdom. And I mail it to anybody who has ever experienced death, whether that be a child, even miscarriages, I believe in it. And all the way up to losing their parent, because it's a book that reminds you that in heaven, time is not a thing. So whoever you lose, it's almost like when they turn around, when your time comes, you'll be there and time's not of essence. So anyway, I just felt like I needed to give him this book. So I make a 15-minute appointment. I walk in. I started bawling my eyes out because as a parent, I'm like, no one should lose their child. And I'm just really sorry. You don't even know me. Here I am crying in your office. Here's a book. So that kind of started our relationship. Well, he was the first African-American mayor in our town. So you fast forward 4, 5, 6, I forget how many years, but everything that happened, even during the pandemic and with the George Floyd situation, it kind of really wrecked my world with racial reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I remember like I typed up this text to a few of our African-American officials, and I don't normally get nervous, but my hands started shaking. I was like, I don't know. I'm going to send this because I want to acknowledge the pain. I want to acknowledge kind of what's happening, but I don't know how they're going to take it. Yeah. You know, and I said, they may never be my friend again. So I went ahead and hit send. And then I have another close friend that's in Atlanta. And I started opening up the conversation about racial reconciliation. Well, from there, we talk about the back porch, which for the listeners, we just have this back porch that people are invited over to. We have real raw conversations. I've had lawyers on the back talking to some victims. We've had crying, a friend of ours' house burned down to the ground. You know, that night they're over at our house and we're all crying together. You know, it's just a sacred place that you can be you, but it opened the door to have multiple racial reconciliation conversations throughout our city, and me being more intentional about getting people of different race, color, opinions around the table and building that community. So that's kind of a long way to say, listen to the Holy Spirit when he prompts. I didn't know that 5-6 years ago, why that 15 minute meeting, but today I know why.
Yeah. Oh my God. I have chills. Like I'm telling you, I get these chills when I know God is present, or God is like, yes, you're on the right track, or God's like, oh, okay. I mean, I am full body chills. It doesn't happen very often, I swear. And it's not even cold in here. I mean, okay. So I want to say a couple of things that stood out to me is I want to acknowledge the fact that you made an appointment to take a book on grief to someone that you have never met, that is the mayor of a town who most people would be intimidated by, and that you did it and you talked to him about his son and you just offered it to him, take it or leave it. Because most people will tell you that everybody goes away after a death, especially of a child or somebody in suicide, is where I hear this the most. Maybe in other areas, but those are the two I hear it the most. After 6 weeks, everybody that's been so helpful and surrounding you and loving on you and bringing you meals, somewhere around, give or take, 6 weeks, everybody goes away and they're alone. And then people walk by them and they won't say anything because they don't know what to say. And what I've heard is people that have lost children specifically will tell you, I just want them to remember I had a kid because I feel like everybody's forgotten because nobody will mention it. So bless you for even doing that.
Well, thanks. And thus do encourage our users. Like, you know, I've had friends that have had stillbirths or miscarriages, and I put them in my phone as, you know, Amy's heavenly birthday. And I can promise you it means a ton to that mom. Yes. I'm gonna get emotional, you know, just to, like you said, acknowledge that they had
baby,
that child.
Yeah. So I lost a baby.
I did not know that.
I did. I don't know what the birth date would have been. I was 20 weeks. And then I got pregnant really quick after. And I am the only one every year that thinks this is how old that baby would have been.
Right.
And I don't mention it. I don't tell anybody. Maybe only a couple of people know. So I love that you do that because it's just powerful. Like, I don't do that for people. Like, you've inspired me to be more out there with it because I am like barely making it some days. And I'm thinking, hey, like, I know you have struggles in life too, but you just really inspire and put this out there. And then you move into racial reconciliation. That's a huge conversation in this world right now. And one that I've done it behind the scenes, but not near what I should be doing. And that means I don't know that I can ever get to the point of what I should be doing for it. But I love that you had the people set in place. And now you see why you had that connection with him. It's amazing. I do think you're a gift. I feel like, yeah, you're definitely a connector. But I feel like God's just, maybe ordained you. I don't even know if that's the right word, but it feels like it's that big of a word, right? That he has just ordained you as something special for him on this earth right now. Like, that is truly how I see feel about you. I mean,
I'm glad they can't see me crying over here.
Oh, yeah, we get a video too.
Yeah. Ooh, it's ugly cry. Okay.
But what I love about it is there is not a part of you that is prideful. You're very humble about it. Like, it's just what I do. Like, I just connect people and I ask questions and I get people surrounded by people. I love how you've said before, like, I surround myself with people that lift me up, not down. And I feel like you connect people that way too, to find those groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause you've heard so many people say, you know, who's your board of directors, if you want to use that word, or you are the sum of the five people you're around the most. So I want them smarter than me. I want them talented in different areas than me.
Yes.
If I'm going to be a culmination of them, then we can do so many cool things.
Absolutely. Are you ready to ditch the stress and overwhelm of life and finally find true rest? God designed us for work and for rest, but it's so much easier to be killing it at the work thing, right? Even if you wear all the hats, do all the things, and think it's impossible to get to a place of rest, your body needs it and your spirit craves it. So, how do we implement rest in this crazy modern world? Well, there are 7 types of rest in your busy life that you need to know. God has asked you to rest. He rested on the 7th day as well. So go to godcreatedrest.com/plan. It's free, and find out the 7 types of God-given rest. And ladies, vacation and sleep are not one. The feedback from this 7 type of rest information has been phenomenal. It has been transformative and life-changing. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. GodCreatedRest.com/plan. So if a woman's listening to us right now, and they're probably thinking, I know what they're thinking. They're like, wow, I want to meet this. Now I'm sitting here going, I need to have you in all my groups and in my course. Like, when I do my live event that I really want to have at some point in my life, like, I need to have you on the stage, because it's like, I found my person that does this that I don't do. I'm not good at community. I'm good one-on-one.
Mm.
But I also know my strengths and my weaknesses. But I learned from you just by being around you. But let's say the woman's sitting on her couch. She's kind of like, I don't even know myself right now, let alone having God tell me this is my purpose. Because, like, you and I both kind of know where we're right now, what we're meant to do. Not that that won't change, but what are we meant to do? What do you say to that woman who doesn't have a clue right now because she's so overwhelmed and lost in just all the things of her to-do list?
Well, if they are a believer, the first question I like to ask people is, what is your favorite gift or talent that God gave you? So I kind of like to hear what they like about themselves. You know, well, I do like to do this, or I'm good at this. And then I can kind of take the conversation from there. But I believe it was Donald Miller, but I don't want to misquote him. Whoever Bob Goff had on one of his events, he said, what makes you mad, sad, or glad? And so when you start there, and it can be one of those emotions, what makes you so mad that you, for those that love justice, what makes you pound your fist on here? For those that lean towards sad, what makes you cry? And then with those that are glad, what makes you so excited or happy? That's where your passion can be. You know, so let's lean into one of those. And everybody's different. So I'm going to pick one and you're going to pick something different. And you kind of can peel back the onion and say, what about that makes you have that emotion? Well, let's get after it. Let's dig into it. How can you help? How can you make that a better issue? So that's kind of how I would start it. But I first need to know, what do you like about yourself? You know, what are you good at?
Right. And I think, though, a lot of women can't answer that question. I know when somebody asked me once, that's why I love what you just said about now, if you asked me that, like, what do you like? What do you like about yourself? Or what are you passionate about? Somebody asked me once, what brings you joy? And I couldn't answer the question. But if somebody asked me what makes me mad, sad, or glad, oh, I'd be all up in that, right? I'm like, oh, I could do that all day long. It just simplifies it. But really, it helps you answer that other question. And actually, one of the reasons, and I share this a lot in my Awaken Me course, is one of the reasons I'm here now teaching women how to rewrite the definition of them and live authentically and within their values, right? Like, I think we don't think about values. You said, I believe in justice. You mentioned that as you were talking about mad, sad, and glad. You're like, okay, and if you're like, what are you pounding your fists towards justice? Like, that's a value.
Mm-hmm.
We do not often think about looking at our values when we are redefining who we are. Like, look at them in a business, but right. You figure out who your values are right now, and they can change. But the first time somebody asked me what brought me joy, it wrecked me for 6 weeks.
Wow, to think six about that.
Weeks, I could not answer that question. And then it was bubble bath. I still have the piece of paper that it's written on. Bubble bath. Like, it wasn't even like in a list. It's just all over. And then I wrote, I like to read. And then I wrote, oh, I like to go to the beach. I had three things and I started jumping for joy. Like, all of a sudden I found joy because I wrote three things. That's how little I knew of who I was in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And I want to make a point. So when you find that passion, whatever it may be, and then you open up your blinders, that's where I want to really encourage women to drop the comparison act, because, you know, so often people want to connect. I always say that my husband, sometimes I overdo it and I have to balance that with him. Fully admit that. But I'm not thinking about, oh, my house is not clean enough or the laundry's not done or whatever, because I know my passion is people. And you're invited to my house anytime. And so I want to release the women. Like, if you have kids, my gosh, your house is never going to be perfectly clean unless they're at a camp off for the week. You know, like, it's not going to happen. And so I remember meeting a friend of mine from Michigan at a Bob Goff event. And we were talking about this. And I said, have the people over. No one is looking at your pile of laundry because they're just so happy to be with somebody else. So she texts me probably a couple months later. She's like, sent a picture of friends over with the pool. She said, and I have the laundry on the couch. Thank you for releasing me from the perfection to build community, was kind of what she was saying.
And right now, oh, I got those chills again. Right now, community is so important. And I want to say, oh, well, this is an example. Yesterday, you're gonna laugh. My husband and I have a yearly thing we do together. Every year, he would take off work and I would take off work and make sure kids were taken care of after school when they were home. And every year we go to the car show.
That's funny.
Like, they have this big car show and this huge arena. And then every brand of car known to man comes and brings their latest models or whatever. And that's what we do. We go to that and we go into Houston to do that. And which we don't go into Houston very often. And we eat lunch somewhere that we've never eaten. So this was yesterday, was our day to do this. And because I haven't had it in a couple of years, so we haven't been doing it. I use the Voxer app a lot. And I use it a lot at work, but I am in a mastermind for my online business with 100 other people. And so there's men, women, like, there's geniuses in this group. Like, there's so, I feel like kind of like with you guys in the group that we have, like, I found my people, like, that just don't judge. And we all have different backgrounds, different races, different belief systems, but I laugh because one of them posted, they're like, okay, where else do you find a team of people working together on one project where one is Jewish, one is Christian, one is Muslim, and one doesn't believe in anything, except for they made this 8-figure business.
Right. Right.
And because they accept that about each other. Right. And anyway, it's this community. So he's laughing at me because he keeps hearing me on Voxer and he'll be like, I don't know that voice. Who is that? Or some of them, he's like already figured out to be like, oh, that's that one again. Because I talked to some over and over for the last year. And I've got a new one that's not even in this group, but I met her through this group. And I love her. Like, we have the same taste in books and all this stuff. And my husband will argue that Voxer is not social. It's not community. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I can go on here and we've got a Wordle group right now where we are like at it with 40 of us. You think we're only just posting our Wordle? No, we are talking to each other. So I said to him, because I want to say this to encourage people, it doesn't always have to be in person, because I think people feel like they can't do that right now. Like, I met this woman on the internet. I met my best friends on the internet. They're in these groups. Like, that's one thing I'm passionate about, my Facebook group, the Sacred Living Group. And I know there's other things, because people are finding their best friends online. And I go real life and meet them places like you and I met. So anyway, I said, so if I'm not being social on Voxer, how do I know that she's closing on a brand new house today, which she saved for over 6 years? And as soon as she gets it closed, she can quit her job to be the entrepreneur that she was designed to be and knows that's where God is calling her. But she had to wait to get the loan on the house first. And how do I know that her 6-year-old was sick last week? And then how do I know that she just has a health coach and that she read this book last week? And he goes, okay, you can stop.
Yeah. He's like, get it. Point taken.
And he's like, because I think it's weird because I'm very introverted. Honestly, I can be extroverted if I have to be, but my natural inclination is just to go hide and read a book somewhere and I'm perfectly happy. So my husband is very extroverted. So he is like the social butterfly. So I think you can understand, you guys might be opposite of this, but he would always want to go and I'd be like, no, don't put me in that situation.
Right.
It always stressed him out that I did not have a lot of friends. Right. And I'm a 1 or 2 friend person and I'm fine. Well, now I've got like 40 and I don't even know what to do with it. I'm so excited. So for him, it's weird to see me in community that way because it's not what I would have done even pre-COVID.
That's right. That it has brought some good things. And you bring a great point even to the listeners is it community looks different for everybody because we are also different. You may not be the extroverted one to invite someone to your house. I use Marco Polo and Voxer. And that is like my lifeline to my friends that don't live right here in my hometown.
Absolutely.
So I love that. Now I did, you made me think of one more point as well is it's okay for people to say no or kind of reject you. And I have a funny story because we at the gym, I do love sweet tea. I mean, well, I've cut back to half and half because I'm almost 40 now. But,
you know, you are from the South.
And I am from the South, so I get to watch the sugar. But a friend of mine and I, we bonded over push-ups and our love of sweet tea at the gym. And we both had very small kids. I feel like they were maybe 2-year-old boys. Well, I'm the extrovert that likes to have people to my house. She's the introvert that doesn't. And so one day we had both been in Chick-fil-A. She was in the drive-through line. I think I was coming out from picking up my order. And I run down the drive-thru line because I asked her every like week, would you like to come to my house? Would you like to my come? Yeah. And she told me no, probably 8 times. I don't know. Yeah. So she said it was the time that I ran with my son in the Chick-fil-A bag. Hey, do y'all want to come eat your Chick-fil-A at my house today?
At this point, she's like, what am I going to say now?
I know. Yeah. Her introverted self was dying. But, you know, she said yes. But it really is funny because now, you know, I mean, goodness, 8, 9, 10 years later, we're coaching. She's helping me coach that 6-year-old basketball team. You know, so
I love it. Yes, that's how it happens. And I'm going to tell you, and we'll wrap up. One, my best friend, my absolute best friend in the world, her name's Julie. She used to live on the cul-de-sac where I was on the corner and she was the cul-de-sac. Now they've moved across the neighborhood. But we go to dinner with her and her husband every Friday night that we're all in town. Like, every Friday night. Like, it's just what we do. And it's just kind of become a thing over the years. So when her oldest, who actually works for me now, so she's maybe 24, she was 2. And then we were pregnant at the same time. So I was pregnant with my first, she was pregnant with her second. They were born 1 week apart. And then our thirds were pretty close together too, like 3 or 4 months apart. But we used to be the driveway people. But I would have never probably met her for a really long time if I was not out getting the mail one day she had to go around the corner to get to her house, and she slowed down to go around the corner, and all of a sudden she backs back up. And I remember thinking, I look terrible right now. I'm just going to get the mail, and I'm really not even dressed, and what is happening? Like, who is this person? And they're going to have a, I mean, all this is going through my head. I want to just run back into the house, honestly. She rolls down her window, and she says, hey, my name's Julie. This is Kaylee back there. Another one on the way. And we have a play group. And I don't know, do you have kids? I said, no, but I have one on the way. She goes, awesome. So when's your baby due? We realized they were due around the same time. Note to self, we still had like 5 months to go. I mean, you could barely tell we were pregnant.
Love it.
She says, well, we're going to have a play group. So when those babies are born, we're going to have a play group. Just know we're going to have a play group. And if you ever need anything, I'm just down the street. I didn't talk to her again until our babies were 6 months old. And she came knocking on my door and she said, hey, we're having that play group. It's on Tuesday. And this is where it's going to be. And I'll come by and just pick you up. And I said, well, I don't know. And she goes, well, what else are you going to do? And I was like, nothing. She goes, great, I'll pick you up. And then she turned around and it was like she thought. And she goes, if you really want to go, do you want to go? I'm like, yes. Yes, I do.
Yes. Yes.
And I met our best friends at this playgroup. Now, she and I are like really close. And we've been friends for 22 years now. So
that's amazing. So let's encourage our listeners. I'm an extrovert. You're an introvert. Yeah. Introvert. As the extrovert, we don't get offended when you say no. We just keep moving on. And we're like, I'll ask her again. I'll ask her again. But I know sometimes as an introvert, you may think like, they're never going to ask me again, or I kind of wanted to go, but I really don't want to go, you know? And so we both, I think, are going to encourage the audience, you know, just try it. Just try it once.
Yeah. Either way. I mean, and ask them again a few months later and a few months later, if you really feel led. Now, if it gets weird and you're running down the Chick-fil-A line, I'm teasing.
Exactly. Because those women are crazy.
I'm just teasing you. You know, I'm teasing. I love it. But if she had not done that, we would probably not be friends. And I would have missed out on one of the best relationships of my life. Right. Honestly.
Right. Yeah. Lots of lessons in that story.
And same with you. If you had not sent us into the circle of authenticity, and it was funny, I have to share, like, you knew I wanted to run. Like, I was like seven people down the line, and I know you kept looking at me like, and at one point you're like, nope, you're not going anywhere. No. I remember you're like, no. And I was like, how does she freaking know that I'm getting ready to come out of my skin over here?
I love you. I love you too.
I could talk to you all day, but I don't know. We could probably really entertain some people. We could make millions probably just entertaining people.
It would be a show, yeah.
The problem is we both give it away for free, so there's
that. That's right, we would. We're like, oh, we love everybody.
It could be the Amy and Amy show. Just give
there
it
you go.
Love it. Join our crazy. All right, my dear, I'm going to let you go back about your life. Your words are powerful today, and I cannot wait to hear the feedback from the people listening and the women and how much they are going to just, like, I want them just to wrap themselves up in the things that you shared today and love on themselves and go out and find their people.
Yes, please. And when, if you do give Amy Wine feedback, write on there. It's, their words are so powerful. Write your gift. Tell Amy your gift.
I love that.
You know, share your favorite gifting with her, because that brings us joy too. We want to celebrate women, and you have gifts. So let Amy know your favorite.
See, I love that. I don't even think of that stuff. Like, I need a list of Amy-isms, your Amy-isms, not mine. Just go right here.
My husband can give you some really bad ones. Like, I mess up words all the time.
All right, my dear, I hope you have a great day, and thank you for being on the couch.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, that wraps up today's episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're interested in continuing conversations just like these, visit my website at amywine.com. There you will find additional resources for high-achieving, Jesus-loving, married moms just like you, and the different ways that we can work together. Thanks for tuning in. See you here next week.
Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.